Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah! Our God is greater than any other. Hallelujah! Wow, why don't you close your eyes with me as we pray this morning. Father, this morning, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Thank you for bringing us together again. What a joy it is to be in your house and in your presence. We agree with King David who said that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Lord, we know that as we have come, our lives will never be the same even before we leave this. That you speak to our hearts, we speak to our lives, and that you affect us, oh God. Thank you for the presence of your spirit and thank you for the angels that you send all the time even when we come here into your presence. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, and somebody shouted your loudest, amen. Wow, you may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here? Wow. We have one of our sisters, Guyanese, who has run away and left us to go and live somewhere else. Marcia Henry. From the Trinidad Church, is here, Marcy. Wow. Put your hands together. Come on for Marcia. Marcia is a Guyanese to the bone. She's living in Trinidad, and she's part, a very major part of our church in Trinidad and Tobago. It's good to see you, Marcy. You didn't tell me you were coming. I would have come to the airport to pick you up. He's Guyanese, so you know where to go, isn't it? Hallelujah. If you are worshiping with us for the very first time, I want to say you are very, very welcome. Exodus chapter 12 is where our scripture for this morning is taken from. And as you're worshiping with us, if you don't have a place where you call your home, you see, in this life, you need a church. Casey, you need a church and you need a pastor. Is that Karen or Kimberly? It's Kimberly. Where's Karen? She didn't come. Okay. In this life, you need a pastor and you need a church. You don't really need money so much. Once you have a church, you'll be okay. Once you have a pastor, you'll be okay. Everything comes from the church. Everything you ever think of or dream about comes from the church. So what you need rather is the church and not that particular thing. Because if you will get that thing, you will get it in such a way that it will bring you problems. It will bring you heartbreaks. It will bring you pressure. It will give you stress. You get it? So you need a church and you need a pastor. Ask the person sitting next to you, do you have a church? What did they say? They said yes. Now, what's the name of your church? I said, are you sure it's Lighthouse Chapel International? That's the person. Do you have a pastor? What did they say? Yes. Are you sure you have a pastor? Yes. What is her name? What is her name? Yes. It's a him. Are you sure it's a him? It's a shim. All right. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Verse 30 says that, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Every house Somebody was dead. Can you imagine that one person is dead? How it affects one family. And then every house, there's somebody in every house who is dead. I mean, who's going to comfort who? And all of us need comfort. So you have to comfort yourself. Verse 30 says something. Verse 31 says that, and he called, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night. You see, when you're in trouble, it's night you call. The call that comes in the day is not important. When you call in the night, you realize that it's a very important call. And he called them by night and he said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. You see, there's a history of God telling Moses to tell Pharaoh that he should allow the slaves, which are the Israelites, to go. Leave. God wants them to go to a land where he promised Abraham, for them to go and live there and serve him. But because the slaves were working for Pharaoh, the slaves were profitable to Pharaoh, and they were living well in the country, and they were making things for the Pharaoh. Pharaoh did not want them to go. You know, so God, through Moses, did a lot of things to still make them, you know, go. But it wasn't working. Do you get it? And I'm saying that this is a type of you in the world and then the kingdom of God. It is not so easy for Satan to let you join the kingdom. It's not so easy for Satan to allow you to be in the church. Because when you come to the church, is that Junior Luke? When you join the church, there are so many things that can take you out, including the person who is sitting right next to you. Sometimes when you are sitting down as I'm preaching, somebody is jamming your chair. He's behind you and he jams your chair. And he jams your chair. And you turn and you look at the person. And then throughout the service, he's jamming. You can easily get vexed. So what? Why are you jamming my chair? And then before I realize you've developed enemies in the church. And then you say, no, mommy won't go to the church anymore. When you go to the church, people jam in your chair. People leave the church for all kinds of fantastic reasons. You get it? So it is a very difficult thing for Satan to just let you go unless by a strong hand. It is the same thing with you and I. So now finally, because Jesus came and died and broke the back of Satan, we are now free to serve the Lord, isn't it? And the same thing happened to the people in Israel. And when you go to verse 32, the Bible says that also when he said that they should go, it wasn't just them. He said also, as you are going, take your flocks. Don't leave your sheep behind. Don't leave your cattle behind. Take everything that belongs to you. Take it, your heads. And as you have said, be gone and bless me also. So you realize that when you are serving the Lord, it is not just you. And that is the title of my message. You can't serve God alone. We are serving God, but we must serve God with our substance, with everything we have. Do you get it? And I'm going to go into some of the things that we have to serve the Lord with. But the first thing I'm focusing my attention on this time is your money. Your money is something that you must also use to serve the Lord. You cannot serve God without spending money. You see, many people, many Christians and many worldly Christians, people who think they are Christians but they are worldly, they have a problem when it comes to money in the church. They don't realize that even to come to church, you have to spend money to come. You have to use money in everything in this world. What do you do in this life that you don't use money? So why is it that you have a problem when it comes to the church? To come here, you have to come in a bus. You have to come in a car. You have to pay money. Sometimes you need to buy shoes for church. Church is money. And for some of us who are a bit more deeper in the church, our money, our personal money, apart from what you spend your money on to come to church, our money does a lot of things also that you may not have an idea about. So you have to serve God with something, with your money. And I'm saying that even with the money, there are classes of the money. We have offerings. We have Thanksgiving offering. We have whatever offering. When it's your birthday, don't only just look for cake. Like it's your birthday, you go for dinner, and you don't come to church. I know somebody like that. When it's your birthday, one of the things that you must do is put an offering in an envelope and thank God for sparing your life.
you got to be thinking wrong on your birthday when there's church to go and eat. May you get running stomach if you do that again. I mean, what? Going to eat. You see, so we have become so self-centered that even when God does things for us, we are not able to thank Him for it. When it's your wedding, when it's your anniversary, when you give birth to a child, the mothers are the back there. When you give a child, don't only say, oh, coco, coco, coco. Who gave you the coco, coco, coco? It's God. I don't know whether you know stories of people who go and don't come back. Stories of people who go, they come back, but their children are not coming with them. All those stories happening in this life. So when you go in your fornication, you go and you come back, and you come back with your baby, you need to give the Lord a shout. You and your child shouldn't have lived because of the fornication you got yourself into. Yeah? And then when you are christening the child also, you don't even give an offering to thank God. Your fornication child you have brought to the church. Yeah, I will say it. That's what it is. There's nothing special about it. Yeah. Sometimes you have to say it just as it is for you to understand. Yeah, the children that you are bringing out in the world, they are all fornication children. Yeah, illegally. You went to have sex. You are not married, you went to have sex and you got pregnant. So it's an illegal pregnancy. It's a fornication child. We shouldn't be proud about those things. We must feel the thing and move away from such a lifestyle. Yeah. So when you fornicate, you are even lucky that you didn't die. Let me tell you something. One day in Ghana, Castello, why are you laughing? One day in Ghana, you see me after church, Castello. one day in Ghana, there was a guy who was sleeping with somebody's wife. Okay, and the man was a Muslim. In Ghana, where I was born, the Muslims also have obia power. They just don't do. They have power. I tell you, you don't want to take something that belongs to a Muslim in Ghana. Once upon a time, the Muslims in the northern part of Ghana, they were fighting one tribe against one tribe. When they shoot an arrow, the arrow will not fall down until it hits somebody. Yeah. They shoot the arrow like that and they send it with a message. It will come looking for you. Jamela Mingo, it will come looking for you. It gets you. It will not fall down. Have you seen an arrow like that before? Muslim. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the Amerindians. Like here, where they live, they have all kinds of things. They can do all you all kinds of things to you. Yeah, Moeva, is it true? she's it's a tan one, Rodriguez. Yeah. So this guy went to sleep with this Muslim's wife, and the guy was also a Muslim. And then you know he would travel, and then people would tell him that, hey, why you go? Somebody replaces you. He said, okay. He was monitoring it. And one day, you know what happened? They put two people on a horse cart, taking them to the hospital. It was the wife and then this guy. Because when the man went inside, he couldn't come outside. It was stuck. Yeah. It got stuck. They took them to, it got stuck. I tell you. Yeah. So you've been going in and coming out. You've been going in and coming out. It has not gotten stuck. And you have a baby on top of it. You need to give God the praise. You're laughing. You don't know things. That's why you do things anyhow. Yeah. So you have to use your money properly. Yeah, say, Lord, you know, you are so good that as I did this, I know, you know, but thank you for having mercy on me. And you give an offer. Yeah, no, you get pregnant, you don't come to church even. You say you shame. You in shame nowhere. And then you give birth to the child. And you want christening, you want offer up, but you don't want to give any offering to the Lord for it. Doesn't work. You have to serve God with your money also. You come to church, take an offering, give an offering. You have to give an offering. It's part of your service. Do you get it? But there's a part of the money that I'm saying that you don't have a choice, and that is your tithe. When it comes to tithe, which is a tenth of your increase, it is not something you choose to. It's not something you do if you have space in your budget. It's not something that you do if you feel like. It is something you do even whether you are not happy. You do it. Because the one-tenth of your increase, and not just salary, because some people pay tithe and they pay only on their salary. It's on all your increase. Increase. It means that anytime the Lord blesses you with something or gives you a raise, you have to get, because how did you get it? People have only a salary. They don't get a raise. You get a salary. You get a raise also. It's God who blessed you. You get a top up. You have to tell God that, Lord, I am happy and I'm excited that you gave me a top up, and give him 1/10 of your tithe, of your increase. So we said that the tithe is 1/10, not 1/20. If your salary is 20,000, don't give God 1,000. God is not a waiter that you are giving a tip. Are you with me? I said, God is not a waiter that you are giving a tip. You give God 1/10 of your increase. Are you with me? What else did we study? Did we learn? Kevin, what else did we study? What is number two? It says what you should know about the tithe, isn't it? So the first thing is that tithe is from a Greek word called dekat, which means a tenth. Okay, number two, a tithe is the first fruits of everything that you have. Okay? And we look at how some people looked at first fruits. Ezekiel, Nehemiah, all those people call tithe as first fruits. Okay, number three, what's number three? It is money that actually belongs to God. Did I preach about that? Number four, the tithe is holy money, isn't it? All right. Number five, write your notes properly. Or you can go and look for the tithe book. All the points are in there, chapter 7 of the tithe book. We're talking about you cannot serve God alone. Number five, the tithe is used to support the priests. The priests, the pastor is supported by the tithe. And it's time that you get to know and understand certain things that happen in the kingdom of God. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 22. The tithe is used to support the pastors. There's no shame about that. We are not shy to tell you that. And you need to understand. Because when people don't understand, then they think and talk all kinds of things. The tithe, by the law of God, is used to support the priest. Do you get it? Now, neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. 23. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute or a law forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. 24. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. You have a modern version, NASB or HCSB, something, some modern translation. And I need it in 2 seconds. You don't have NIV. Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. That is why I said concerning them, they will have no inheritance among the Israelites. Everybody pay attention. I am teaching you something that you thought was wrong. The pastors are paid by the church because the Bible says so. Are you with me? This country, Guyana, we pay the president. We give an allowance to all the members of parliament, and they have duty free, even though we who pay them don't have duty free. Does it make sense? They have more privileges than the boss. Certain. The person who you work for is the one who has more trouble. You who work for the person, you are enjoying. It doesn't make sense. Do you get it? But that's why you don't go and tell the president that, why are we paying the president? Why are we giving the ministers duty free and we don't have duty free? You can't go and say anything. Yeah, they are the ones who drive the big cars. And you can't even afford a special. Not people care. You can't even afford a bicycle, a motorbike. A scrambler. Even Jailin. You can't afford a Jailin. Can you believe it? But that one, you are quiet about it. But when it comes to money in the church, you have all sorts of things to talk about. It's a lot of ignorance because listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Levites, if you don't know the Bible well, the Levites in the Bible are the pastors. You see, in the olden days, you had the priest, the high priest Aaron. And then Aaron's family, Aaron's sons, were the Levites. They were the people who had the privilege and opportunity to do the things in the church. And the Bible said, because of that, and listen to me, I'm teaching something that you really have to understand, and I'm just preaching about this and we'll close. The pastors who are paid by the church are pastors who do not work outside. They are full-time. That's the job. Because the Bible says they will have no inheritance among the Israelites. It means that they do not have the privilege to go and work and do business. I don't do any business. I'm a full-time pastor because the only thing I do is pastoring the church. If the pastor works somewhere like Pastor Isan, stand up. Pastor Isan is a teacher, music teacher, and a social studies teacher at St. George's Cathedral or St. George's Secondary School. Yeah, the cathedral school.
That's it.
And he's a pastor of this church. Yeah. You know him.
Yeah.
But we don't pay him. We don't even give him a cent. Because he doesn't fall here. He has an inheritance among us. His inheritance is his teaching job. So he's making money from the teaching job. He can make money from the teaching job and come to the church and then we give him our offering as well. So that is something you need to understand. That the pastor is paid because he has no job. Not that he doesn't have a job. God has separated him to spend all his time on the church. And because he's spending his time on the church, he needs to be taken care of by the others who rather are not spending time in the church. You see, because if I'm going to be a pastor and be a businessman, I will not be here. Because I have business to do in Suriname, I'm gone. Bye. I'm going to Dubai. So where is pastor? He's gone to London. I'm doing business. What's your problem? You are working. I'm also working. Do you get it? But because I need to be here Sunday after Sunday. I wasn't here last Sunday because I was doing the job. I was invited to preach in Jamaica. And I went to preach. It was preaching. I traveled to preach. I traveled because of the church. I hardly go on vacation. Ask my wife. She can tell you. We hardly travel that we are going on vacation. We're vacation. And we ride it. What did she say? We don't go anywhere. So think about it, that the church that has a pastor who doesn't have any other job outside somewhere is the pastor who is paid, because the Bible says so, and he's paid from the tithes that you give. Now another thing I want to let you understand is that even though the pastor is paid, the money of the church, all of it doesn't belong to the pastor. The church, that's what I'm saying, that what you can say it. Whatever I own, even my children, their shoes and their clothes, is the offering you give, is the tithe you pay me. That's what I use to buy their clothes. So you can, they are church clothes. You know, these clothes are, is the church offering. But what it is that, my wife, your shoes, I think of her. Yeah, it's not your shoes, you. Yes, okay, all right. She works, isn't it? She says no because she works somewhere. The money that comes into the church is just a little of it that is used to pay me. Some of you have a salary higher than my salary.
And it's okay because I'm not here just for the money. If I'm here for the money, I'll pick it. I'll take Prince and we'll go and pick it. Yeah, we're going to say, salary 55% increase. We'll stand right at the gate here. When you are coming, we'll give you the placards. No, more offering, more tithe. Salary is small. Yeah, but this business is not about money. So whatever I am paid, which is actually determined by our headquarters, even though the headquarters is not here, the headquarters determines my salary for me. And I don't have any problem about how much I receive, because I'm blessed. Just this morning, after the first service, somebody pushed an envelope into my hands. When I opened it, I saw some nice green money. Blessed. So the salary is just something to just help you live, and not something to just make you be that comfortable. Because apart from the salary, there's a lot of blessings. There's the remuneration package is heavy, I tell you. So I don't need that much. I just need a little bit to just be okay. Buy gas, move around, pay my children's school fees. That's it. So number one, the pastor who is paid from the offering and the tithe that come to the church is the pastor who doesn't work anywhere, but works for the church. And let me tell you, it's not easy to work in the church. I have a friend pastor who pastors in Caneville. And, you know, I have been talking to him about full-time ministry. He's been smiling. Because he works at a place and he's an auditor. And they pay him, you know, 100 and something or so. You know, so he's looking at the church, the people who sit in the church with their face like that. And then leaving all this fancy job that he has as an auditor to come and be there and wait for them to pay their tithe and offering before he can eat. Anytime I say it, he says, no, it's not, because you give offering sometimes, you don't give offering sometimes. You don't pay your tithe all the time. So when there's no money, I don't have anything to do. I just have to. You see, by the grace of God, there's not a month that we say there's no money. But if there was not to be any money, what am I going to do? People are afraid to come full time. You should look around Guyana. How many pastors are full time? Including those who work in the government. They are not full time. Because their lifestyles, they don't believe that God can take care of them alone. So they have to get into other things. Coming full time is a lot of faith. To depend, to put my livelihood on Michelle, whether Michelle will get a job, whether she, when she gets a job and she's paid, whether she will give an offering, and when she feels like giving an offering, all of that. My life is dependent on it. But you see, because it is not dependent on Michelle per se, it is on God. Somehow God is also able to make things work together for my good. So I have stepped into this work in faith, knowing that the one who has called me is also faithful to accomplish everything that concerns me. It's my faith. Yeah. And out of all the things we do, there are so many things that a lot of people do for us. Until just a few years ago, my sister in London just and her husband just took interest, and then they just send us things. I mean, there are so many things I don't buy, because when she sends whatever, I have what I need from it. So even if you don't pay me, somebody, God has touched somebody else's heart somewhere in England who is sending me certain things that if I don't have money, I will look okay. It's too fantastic. But the tithe, you need to serve God with your money, because out of the tithe, we pay the pastors. In this church, I'm the only pastor who does not work in a secular world. So I'm the only pastor who is paid. Everybody else, including Faye, Nicole, who comes to Kitty to pick you up, Chenisa, Perfect, what's her name again? Bowman, all of, nobody's paid. Pastor Kitty is not paid. He works at Bihari. What? Give us some peace and money. We don't pay him. He's not paid. Nobody's paid but me. You see, because if we are going to pay all the pastors, the money will be small. We can't do anything. Because as the fan is blowing and you are even the breeze cry is not cool. Some company is collecting money as we are. I told Kevin to open the door. Where is he?
You have to meet to speak in vernacular before you can understand what I'm saying. Are you with me? Yeah. So you must understand, number one, those who don't work outside, they work for the church full time, they are paid by the church. And that is not all the money that comes to me. Oh, I won't be here. I'll come with a helicopter. As you are sitting out, you ta 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 ta. Pastor has landed. Yeah, on the roof. I said, man, I rich. No. We don't do it like that. We are professionals. We are sensible people. We are wise people. We are wise people. If we the salary comes are based on your qualification and what you do, just like your salary. I had to apply. If I had to submit my CV and my application letter to this job that I have, and I was interviewed, like you were interviewed at your workplace. Yeah, yes, Prince. I was interviewed. I had a conference call interview. One from America, one from Europe. I was interviewed before I was appointed to come to Guyana. Yeah. And my salary was benchmarked. It's not like I'm coming from Europe. I came from thousands of euros salary. So you're going to get thousands of euros. Yeah, we don't use euros. We use Guyanese dollars. So we have to look at, okay, if somebody goes to the university or finishes the university and is working here in Guyana, how much do they pay them? Obey somebody. It's benchmark. A pastor came to Guyana to look at all the salaries before my salary was established. You think it's a joke? Yeah. I'm explaining to you so that when we say pastors, you say pastor and money. No. There's just a little bit of the church that is for us, and that is just the salary that is given to us. And it comes, and no shame, it comes from the tithe. Because the Bible says so. Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance, the tithe. In fact, this one, you can even misinterpret it and say, you know what? All the tithes that you bring there, it's all for me. You can interpret it like that. That's what it really is. There's no salary here. Do you see a salary there? No salary. The Bible says, Mr. Griffith, the Bible says that the tenth, all the tithe is for the Levites. So Troy's tithe, MacPherson's tithe, Kimberly's tithe, Kimberly, Karen, Kimberly, sweetheart, your tithe, what's your name? Spencer. Spencer's tithe, Tanisha's tithe, if she ever pays tithe, $1,000 every 3 months, Taisha's tithe, Nakosi, your tithe, Tinika, and Tim, if you pay tithe, his tithe, all of the tithe, the Bible says it's for me. Hey, man, hey, we should change the rules from now. Man, I mean, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 at the end of the month, I'll be rich. No, but we are saying that all the, even though that's what the Bible says, all the money can't go into one bank like that. We need to pay bill. We need to, no, do this. We need to buy this. We need to buy this. So we say, you know what? How much can you eat? Yeah. In many churches, they don't do that. All the money in the church is for the pastor. But that's not what we use here. We take, that's why we have benchmarking. We do salary analysis. We do this, we do that, we do that, we do that. Your education background, the length of time you have been preaching. You see, so if you've heard Bishop say it before, those of you listening to messages, if you come full time now, let's say your salary, Brother Rudy, stand up. If your salary, let's say you collect 200,000 from NIS where you work, and you become a pastor, you become full time now. You know how it works? We have our salary scale, and you start from the beginning. Yeah, you take it because this job is not money. It's not a money job. If it's money, everybody will come here. Everybody will come. Pastor Keith, is it money? No, it's a call. You must be called. You must be anointed. So if he was, let's say, collecting 300,000 and he comes full time, and our salary scale for anybody who comes full time between the first year and the third year, I think the first year and the fifth year, Genesis salary scale. Genesis. We have Exodus, we have Leviticus, we have Numbers and Deuteronomy. Yeah. So if you come as Genesis, maybe it's $100, between $100 and $300. Whether you're collecting 4 million or 10 million, this, you want to serve God here, a lighthouse, that's how we do it. You realize that you don't even know the church, isn't it? So, and that's what makes people talk a lot, because they don't know what goes on in the church. It's not every church that is the same. Every church is not the same. Yeah. So just as you work in a job, and then the longer you work there, the more you become strong. It's the same thing in the church. Because I can't compare myself to Bishop Saki. He's been around for 30 something years. Me, I just started the other day. So if I see Bishop Saki drive a car, I can't say, what? When you go to a work and your manager drives a certain car, do you say, what? You know, you can't go there. You can't reach there. You don't have the experience. You don't have the experience. So you don't even talk about the princess in it. You can't talk about it, because you don't have what it takes to be where he is. But in the church, we are so disrespectful that when we see one another, we think that, oh, why does the pastor drive this car? But this thing, I've been doing this thing since 1995. Where were you? You're in school. And I've been working this way since 1995. This is about almost 20 years. If not 20 years. And you expect me to be broke, not driving a car? If you are doing a business for 20 years, can you not buy a car? Gas can. Even after 20 years, they fire you from the army, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
They say you are too old. Go. Yeah. I've been doing this business for 20 years. You don't want me to drive a car? As you walk. Hey, brother, after doing this business, preaching to people, praying for people, deliverance, I shouldn't drive a car. I shouldn't wear suit. Because I'm wearing suit, you say, it's the church money. 20 years, Colette, I've 20 years of this business. I shouldn't have something small to eat. Sir, think about it. You work for somebody for 20 years. You can't dress nice. If you dress nice, it's like the busman money you're using. No, 20 years of service. 20 years. Yeah. If you go into the bush interior, you work for 20 years, we must see a house. You must see a car to prove that you have been in the bush for 20 years. Yes. Yeah, service. But it doesn't come. It's not everything that is given to us. No. It's a little bit. And we also are human beings. We are supposed to manage our money. If I'm paid $10,000 and then by the 10th or 15th of the month it's finished, it's finished. Just as you go to Republic to check if your salary has come, I also go to Scotia to check if my money has come. The same thing. I'm not different. The only thing is that I'm anointed, that's all. Everything else is the same. I eat, I drink, I poo-poo, everything I do, just like you do it. Yeah, it's just the oil that puts somebody above another person. That's the oil that makes the difference. Are you with me? So it's very important you understand it. So it doesn't become something like, you know, you despise it. That, why should we pay the pastor? Why shouldn't we pay the pastor? God says we should pay the pastor. Yeah. 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 There are so many things that I can't disclose. Yeah. Everybody else, you are volunteering. And God will bless you rather. If the time comes that we need you to be full-time, then we will also take you and pay you. And pay you just us. So, for example, Shanisa, get up. You start from Genesis. You are at Ministry of Health. They pay you peanuts. True or false?
True, ever.
And then when you come to the church and I give you that same money, so, what? All the money? That's all they could give me? When you were in the Ministry of Health, they would pay you peanuts. You couldn't talk to Barry Ramsaram to increase your salary. But when she comes full time, she's at the university. She's finishing her degree this year. So we'll say, wow, okay, she has a degree. Wow, it's not everybody who is able to go to university. So, okay, it's something you need to take note of. So how long has she been working in the church? How long have you been around?
5 years. Bro.
5 years of working in the church as a volunteer. She has done something. Ah, okay, good. Are you married?
Yes, Reverend.
Okay, wow. Now it means that she has a bit more responsibilities. Okay, wow. I see. How old are you?
23.
At least she deserves some motorbike, isn't it? Okay, you know what? Okay, good. Then we go. Then we sit down and we put something together for her. It comes from the tithe. So when you're paying your tithe, say, is it for pastor? It's not all for pastor. Some is for pastor. You need to understand that. I'm not ashamed. Because I have the scripture that tells me that. The Bible says you should not muzzle the ox that treads the corn. You know what that scripture means? Don't muzzle the ox that treads the corn. The ox that is what does he do? I don't know what he does to the corn, but he's harvesting the corn. The Bible says, don't cover its mouth. Because as he's doing harvesting the corn, he must take one or two things into his mouth. So he can get energy to work more. Clima. Yeah, to do more. You don't cover. You are so wicked. When you have a donkey who is harvesting your corn for you, you've covered it all. You can't eat anything. That's why people steal. People steal because they are not giving what they are supposed to give in to feel satisfied. And Lighthouse, we don't like pastors who are thieves. So we give them something that, you know, not so much, but also not so little, that they can live. And we have to let your wife work because it's two salaries anyway. Because the church money is small. You got to let your wife work and do. Your wife should do all kinds of businesses so that she can balance up, because that's what the church, there's no money. Yeah. Go to Dubai, go to China, bring in goods, trade this, that, sell shoes, sell clothes, this, do business, sell wigs, eye wigs, all kinds of things. So she can bring in money so it can make you comfortable. But as for the church, this is all we have to give you. The rest is all by faith. That's why full-time ministry is a step of faith. That's why many people can't step into full-time. But when you're able to step in, God also is able to take care of you. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. My time is up. Tithe is for the priests. Yeah. It's very informative, isn't it? Yeah. So when somebody's, you know, talking rubbish, they say, no. It's not all like that. You don't understand how the church is, you know, it's together. Some churches are not like that. Some churches, the money is not for the pastor. My bank account and the church's account are two different things. Do you know Mobutu Seseku? Mobutu Seseku Kuku Bendu Wazabanga? Yeah. Mobutu Seseku Kuku Bendu Wazabanga, the former president of Zaire. His assets was equal to the debts of the country. So you know where the money of the country has gone to. Yeah. He was so rich that he buys wine, a bottle of wine is $9,000. A bottle of wine. And he pays cash. He doesn't use credit card. Somebody walks behind him with a briefcase full of money. So when he goes to a restaurant, he used to go to Belgium, it was French speaking, he goes France, Paris, and he sits down in a restaurant. There's somebody who holds the money. And they drink wine. One bottle of wine is $9,000. It took you 1 year to get that money. Huh? Wine, 9,000. He was so rich and the country was so poor. So he realized that the country's bank accounts was his personal account. That's not how we behave here. Are you with me? But we cannot forget and neglect to tell you that the salaries and everything comes from the tithe. But if you don't like it, don't pay tithe again. It's up to you. And that's what it is. Because the Bible says so. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes with me. Father, thank you so much for speaking to us. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for giving us the information we need. I pray that, Lord, with all our might, with all our strength, we will give unto you that which is yours. And that you affect our lives and you change our lives, even as we obey to tithe of all our increase. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name. You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.